The CIA had not sanctioned the hit, Garrison maintained, but was actively involved in the cover-up, even to the extent of eliminating troublesome witnesses. Garrison continued to receive heavy criticism as he brought the Clay Shaw case to trial, with critics suggesting he was damaging the country. "Let justice be done, though the heavens fall," Garrison said at one point. At least he did in the movie. Garrison's case against Shaw was flimsy at best. A jury quickly returned a verdict of not guilty, but Garrison continued to insist that a CIA-centered conspiracy was responsible for killing the president. Other Warren Commission critics who followed him went so far as to blame officials in the agency directly, noting the antagonism between the CIA and the Kennedy administration in 1963. Why would the CIA want to kill Kennedy? Those who adhere to the CIA kill JFK theory have advanced a number of reasons. The agency wanted revenge for Kennedy's botched handling of the Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961. Or the CIA kill Kennedy because he was about to pull U.S. troops out of Vietnam. Or because Kennedy was about to dismantle or reduce the power of the CIA. In fact, it was Kennedy who was said to be angry with the CIA following the disastrous Bay of Pigs invasion, but not exactly for the reasons many conspiracy theorists think. The evidence suggests Kennedy thought it was the CIA that had badly bungled and misjudged the mission. He was angry at its incompetence and how the debacle reflected badly on his young administration. But instead of dropping the objective of removing Fidel Castro, Kennedy stepped it up. To make sure it was done correctly, he put his brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, in charge of holding the CIA's feet to the fire. Kennedy wanted Castro out and pressed the CIA to get it done. The Vietnam angle is an interesting one because the war was becoming an ever larger headache for the administration in 1963. Some conspiracy theorists point to President Kennedy's National Security Action Memorandum 263, signed on October 2, 1963, and National Security Action Memorandum 273, which Johnson signed 4 days after Kennedy's death, as evidence Kennedy was killed because he was poised to withdraw U.S. troops from Vietnam. According to the theory, Kennedy's memorandum outlined the withdrawal of 1,000 of America's 16,000 troops from Vietnam by the end of the year, and the remaining forces by 1965. Johnson's memorandum, the theory goes, reversed that. But a reading of the two documents shows that while they are different in some important aspects, 273 may not have exactly reversed 263. In the October memo, Kennedy signed off on a recommendation by Defense Secretary Robert McNamara and National Security Advisor General Maxwell Taylor that included the proposed troop withdrawal. We can't be sure whether the U.S. was confident it could transfer responsibility to South Vietnamese troops by then, or whether policymakers, including the president, were looking for a way out. Johnson's memo of November 26 doesn't exactly override the earlier memo, but is more detailed on the objectives that need to be met before U.S. advisors were withdrawn. In some respects, it is a reiteration of Kennedy's NSAM 263. In fact, point 2 of the Johnson document states, "The objectives of the United States with respect to the withdrawal of U.S. military personnel remain as stated in the White House statement of October 2, 1963. In other words, the document Johnson signed accepted the military assessment that the U.S. could begin withdrawing its advisors as conditions on the ground improved. And in fact, it wasn't really Johnson's document, but Kennedy's. NASM 273 was drafted on November 21st, the day before Kennedy was murdered. Some conspiracy theorists have taken that as evidence that the plotters were certain Kennedy was about to be eliminated and had a shift in U.S. policy at the ready, but that seems quite a stretch. The plot would have had to extend beyond the CIA to members of the president's national security team in the White House. There is no evidence at all for that. A more logical explanation for the updated memo would be if the facts on the ground in Vietnam had abruptly changed since Kennedy signed the October document. And indeed, they had. On November 1st, South Vietnamese generals staged a coup, overthrowing and assassinating South Vietnamese President Diem, seen in Washington as a corrupt leader who alienated wide sections of his population. In the weeks leading up to the coup, President Kennedy tried sending public signals to Diem that he had better reform his government, suggesting U.S. patience with him was wearing thin. I don't think that unless a greater effort is made by the government to win popular support, that the war can be won out there, Kennedy said in a September 2, 1963 interview with CBS News Walter Cronkite. In the final analysis, it is their war. They are the ones who have to win it or lose it. We can help them, we can give them equipment, we can send our men out there as advisors, but they have to win it, the people of Vietnam against the communists. Later in the interview, Kennedy all but telegraphed the possibility of a coup against the South Vietnamese president with this blunt warning. Our best judgment is that he, Diem, can't be successful on this basis, Kennedy said. We hope that he comes to see that, but in the final analysis, it is the people and the government itself who have to win or lose this struggle. All we can do is help, and we are making it very clear.